Okay, this coming Shabbos, we're going to have the opportunity to read Parshas Nitzavim, which begins, of course, with the very popular statement, Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kulchem, you're all standing here. Rasheichem, Shifteichem, Ziknechem, Shotreichem, Kolish Yisrael, everybody is here, Migercha, from the woodchoppers to the water carriers, from the leaders to the small. Rav Hanan Porat, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, one of the greats of the Knesset, pointed out that while we speak of Achdus as a nice photo, it needs to have a purpose. And once a common mission is identified as a purpose for the Achdus, then the Nesiva Shalom adds, then everyone feels satisfied with his or her role towards the goal. The problem with our idea of Achdus today, says Rav Hanan, is that we tend to think everything's okay, everything goes. But that's not the Torah's way. The Torah wants us to remember that no matter where we come from, on the one hand, we can make a very significant contribution to the Kavod Hashem, but only if we're focused on Hashem's goals for us as individuals and for our nation as a whole. It's our roles that are pre-selected by HaKadosh Baruch Hu based on our talents, not on everything being out of his place and everyone doing as he or she pleases. That's not the way of the Torah. Atam nitzav mayom. If we're standing here all together with Achdus, then we're doing exactly what we're supposed to be doing, and that's one of the great challenges of today's generation. We're also told, Vatiru ashukutseyem veskiluleyem, eitzva even kesef esav asheri mohem. You saw their disgusting items, wood and stone, gold and silver that were with him. Rav Shalom Shvadron quoted Rav Leif Chasman, that's all, who explained that this is the way of the Yetzer Hara. It's a progressive process. When we see something that's morally wrong, we see it as shekets. Now, we have, if we continue to allow it to be okay, then it gets lowered in our eyes. It's no longer a shekets anymore. Now it's eitzvayev and it's useless. It's not that valuable. But then as we get further into it, it becomes kesev v'zav, it becomes gold and silver. In other words, slowly these things break down the strong feelings of the human being, and once man is broken, it's not so hard to get him to sin, even in the realm of avodah zarah. And we need to be on guard against that possibility. And that's one of the mitzvos, one of the commandments that went into the bris. And we're told, l'avrecha b'vris Hashem Elokecha, in order to enter the covenant of Hashem in his oath. And the Ramban explains that in the covenant at Sinai, the Bris Sinai, we don't find a mention of any oath, and the way we do over here. So how then are we to explain the Gemara, which seems to use the statement, Mushba v'omid me'ar Sinai, if there's no Shvua at Har Sinai, what does the Gemara mean? So Rav Shachter Shalita often used to quote it to us from Rav Soloveitchik, who explained that it's not a reference to the Bris Sinai, but rather a Bris at Arvos Moav that's mentioned over here. When we say Mushba v'omid me'ar Sinai, we really mean Mushba me'ar v'os Moav. But the difference is that the bris at Har Sinai was a bris that created Kedushas Yisrael historically for all future generations. That's what happened at Mamad Har Sinai. We know what our Kedushas Yisrael was. The bris here in Avos Moav was more personal. It stated the responsibilities of each and every Jew. And that's the oath that's referred to over here. That the personal oath is here, each of us is elected to take it, and each of us has the responsibility to keep it. In this week's Sedra, we're told on multiple occasions, V'shaftar Hashem Elokecha v'shamata b'kolo, that we need to return to Hashem and listen to His words. And the Sephorno explains that one's tshuva should simply be to do the will of Hashem, and listening to Him refers to listening and not simply doing tshuva by rote. Listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what Yishayahu also cautions. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't react well to the tshuva that's done by rote. Now, why is it so bad to be doing things by rote? So Baruch Mordechai, as Rachi Shlita noted, that the process of doing things by rote removes the person from the experience. What good is the gift of intellect and the gift of emotion if not to use it with the opportunity to connect to Hashem? And so doing tshuva without being there, to be in it, is a waste of the opportunity that the tshuva presents. And we need to avoid that. And so therefore we're told, Kikaro v'edacha adavar ma'od b'ficho b'lvavcha la'asoso. We're told it's in your mouth and it's in your heart to do it. Now shouldn't the order have been reversed? Shouldn't it have been b'lvavcho b'ficha la'asoso? So the Beis Yisrael of Gur explains that the Torah here speaks of a person who feels too tired to learn or daven. Unless they think he's doomed, he can force himself just to start and just try. Thereafter, I'll discover that his drive in learning and his mitzvah performance is indeed there. It's b'ficha first. And then it's Bilvavcha, the basis. So we quote from the Kutzker Rebbe, who would add that the key thing is not the power of the lave. It's not your mouth, it's not your heart, as much as la soso, as the act that it leads you to do. Sometimes we don't feel opportunity, but we can grow with it, and we can if we just put ourselves into it. The Torah adds, "Re'ei nasati lefanech hayom es ha'chayim es ha'tov es ha'mavis ves ha'ra." Behold, I set before you chayim and tov, and mavis and bad. And Ramichel Feinstein Zatzal pointed out that from this pasuk it's clear that evil is a creation, just like good is a creation. So what difference does it make if evil is a creation, or merely just a lack of good? The answer, says Ramichel Feinstein Zatzal, is in the ability to recognize that we need to choose to do good, and to weigh, to see if the Yetzer Hara is trying to trick us not only into laziness, but rather to actively pursue that which is Ra. And how one chooses to respond to a challenge of Ra is dependent on knowing whether Ra is merely going to be a state of a lack, or whether it is actively pursuing us, and it seems like it is pursuing us, that will tell us which way to go. We're told it's your life and the length of your days. And the Torah is highlighting to us that a life filled with Torah mitzvahs will not only be long, but it'll also be completely fulfilling. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach Zatzal was known as quite a patient person. But twice it was reported, and the story was told twice at his levaya, that he took a different style. The first was when someone had an appointment with him for 4 o'clock and didn't show up until much later, until 4:15. And so by the time that the other person showed, Rav Shlomo Zalman had left already. And when he was called later by the other fellow who asked, "You couldn't wait 15 minutes?" Rav Shlomo Zalman explained that if the other person cared about the time, he would have left earlier to get to the appointment on time. But if he didn't care about the time, why should Rav Shlomo Zalman? Very uncharacteristic Rav Shlomo Zalman. A second time was when someone was walking home with Rav Shlomo Zalman and insisted on walking very slowly for no apparent reason. So Rav Shlomo Zalman asked the person to walk somewhat faster, and the person refused. Rav Shlomo Zalman then invited the person to meet him at his home once he got there, and Rav Shlomo Zalman went off on his own. Now these stories were out of character for Rav Shlomo Zalman, so it was strange to hear them. But as Levaya, Rav Yehuda Adis explained that Rav Shlomo Zalman understood that time had the status of pikuach nefesh, that once it's lost, it doesn't return. And so Rav Shlomo Zalman couldn't understand wasting time. When you live a life that's your life and also the fulfillment of your days, then you get into it and you understand what life is all about. And that's what becomes somewhat, perhaps, of what we need to spend a lot more time doing in our lives. Finally, in the Haftorah of this week, we're told, "Kechasan yechahein peher v'chachala te'adekela," as a chasan wearing priestly glory, and as a kala beautified with her garments. Rav Hirsch notes that the translation is a bit contrived over here, as the correct Hebrew would have been, "Kepeher yechahein chasan," not "Kechasan yechahein peher." And so therefore, Rav Hirsch offers a different translation. "Kechasan yechahein peher." In Judaism, it's not the clothes that make the man or the woman, it's the person who gives the status to the clothing. Wear clothing that's undignified, and the wearer looks ridiculous. Wear or uniform that's unbecoming of one's station, and it looks like dress-up. The person makes the status of everything around him. The person has to realize that he has the effect on that which is around him. Either he rises to the occasion, or he fails in the process. We, of course, are hitting that such an opportunity, where each of us stands with the opportunity to join and to hold together. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu grant us that ability as we strive for the Yom Shekulo Shabbos, and may HaKadosh Baruch Hu grant each and every one of us and our wonderful families a ksiva v'chasima tova, a good kevench jar, a year of mazel, bracha v'hatzlacha b'chol ma'aseh yadeinu, and v'yidei kol am Yisrael, amen, v'yamein. Shabbat shalom to